Will you bow with me in prayer? Oh, gracious God, open our hearts and our minds that your word might speak to us. And may the meditations of our hearts accept what you bring to us as a gift. Amen. I really hate to admit this up front, but it's true. I've always been puzzled by this story of Abraham and Isaac, a father being asked to sacrifice his son. Now, I know that may not be what you want your preacher to hear or say, and or what you want to hear, but it's true. As a child, I remember having a Bible picture book. It had all these pictures of stories that are in Scripture. And I remember there was this one of Abraham and Isaac, and it was a picture of Isaac laying on an altar and Abraham standing there next to him. And I don't remember exactly whether Abraham had the knife in his hand, but I was certainly already troubled about what was happening. I mean, I really wanted to question Isaac a bit. I wanted to speak into the book and said, "What in the world are you doing? Why in the world did you go up that mountain? You said, where's the sacrifice? Well, dummy, you're it." I was always pretty confused. Wake up, son. Let's get this right. Years later, when I became a father, a parent myself, I found myself even more disturbed by this story. After all, what kind of father would entertain such a proposition as this one that came to Abraham? As a church pastor, as a preacher, I was uncomfortable with the fact that this lesson shows up in some very particular places throughout the church year. It's first found in the Easter Vigil, those readings that are often read between Good Friday and Easter. And I understand why it's there. It's a correlation for us of God sacrificing his son. And so we get this story that comes along. And then, like today, it's right after Pentecost, we get this story of Abraham. I was thinking back on all my years of ministry, and I don't remember ever preaching on this subject before. But it came up again this year, and for some reason I just could not shake it. The Book of Common Prayer contains a prayer that calls on God's people to not only hear the Scriptures, but to read it, to mark it, to learn, and to digest it. It's not meant to be like cotton candy, something sweet and easy and fun for us. It doesn't always go down easily. God's word is filled with substance. It's something that we should chew on. And so the early church knew that, and they prompted us with stories such as this. With this in mind, I want us to think about this story. It's difficult. Since it's safe to say that God does not want us to begin child sacrifice any more than he really wanted Abraham to do that, this story I think we should look at like a parable of Jesus. Stories that are meant to provoke us, to challenge us, to make us chew on things and digest things at a deeper level, not just simply looking to see what's there. We might want to ask ourselves, what does this story tell us about God? Or even more so, what does this story tell us about ourselves? I think we can tackle that question by beginning not at the front of the story, but at the very end, where it said, Abraham called this place, "The Lord will provide." As it said, "To this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." Well, when we hear that, that part sounds pretty good. God will provide. It will give us the things we need, except if you need a hit in the bottom of the sixth. Sorry about that, Bob. Some of us have been in that same place. But that sounds too simple for us just to say, the story says God will provide. I want to ask you a kind of question that I believe it reflects upon all of us. How many of you have gone into a parking lot? Perhaps you go to the mall. We were at the mall yesterday. Don't go to the mall on Saturday. It's not a good idea. But you go into any kind of parking lot looking for a place to park, and you kind of utter this prayer in the back of your minds. Oh, dear Lord, help me find a good place. And the good place is where the handicapped people get to park. But you're always saying, Lord, can you help me find this place? Or then if you find such a place, you utter off this prayer that says, oh, thank you, God. Or there's an angel watching over me, and it's such a blessing. I do not doubt for a moment that God is not concerned about our lives, that God cares for us, loves us, and watches over us. But this kind of parking lot theology where we can turn to God and ask for things, as Bob was mentioning, a parking spot? God is not concerned where we park. He doesn't think you deserve this parking spot any more than you deserve this parking spot. And so that's not what we're talking about. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the great theologian, talks to us about cheap grace. He says things don't come that easy. God does provide for us, but often there's something more. Now, this may be an impressive example, but it's a familiar one. It may not be. The formula is played out in countless other situations. I was thinking about myself and coming up to a traffic light. How often do you, oh, Lord, make it change, and then you sit there for a while. We're always wanting and interjecting things and hoping for those cheap responses. But that makes God into a genie, so to say, or a magic ATM machine where we place a quick prayer and we get what we want. God will provide, yes. That's what we need to remember. Let's go back to the beginning of the story. Even going before the very beginning, which we have here this morning, only a few chapters earlier in Genesis, Abraham had been promised. And I emphasize that word. Abraham had been promised by God that his descendants would be as numerous as the sands on the beach, as the stars that shine in the heavens. It was a very impressive divine promise to be accomplished by Abraham and by Sarah. Remember, the promise had come to them in their old age, but they were to have a son, and that son would be Isaac. And when Abraham tried to help God out a little bit with Hagar and Ishmael was born, God continued that promise to Abraham that it would be through his son Isaac that the descendants of Israel would continue. So Abraham is told by God he's going to have a son. And now Abraham is told by God to take that son up the mountain and sacrifice him to God. Wait a minute. How can we have both? What about the promise? Abraham is confronted with a real dilemma of trust. How does he trust God with the promise and now the sacrifice? Like the long-suffering Job, here we see a very righteous and faithful person who's now threatened with losing everything. And he's being called to believe in God as the one who provides. It doesn't make much sense when we think of it in those terms. But Abraham continues to respond. As you heard in the lesson this morning, there are three times when Abraham steps forward. First to God, and then he does it with Isaac, and then back to God. Here I am, Lord. He's using that phrase, whatever you want, whatever you need, here I am. if we remember, Abraham was kind of a daredevil in ways. He was in a relationship with God that enabled him to be very forward. Remember the story about Sodom and Gomorrah, where God says he's going to destroy this city because of its sinfulness. And Abraham says, but wait a minute. Let's think about this a minute. If I can find 50, if I can find 10, if I can find however many righteous people, will you save it? Abraham is willing to step forward and even bargain with God. So their relationship was one of Abraham was often called a friend of God. And so he's caught in this dilemma of trust. I believe it's safe to say and to assume that neither you nor I will be called upon to literally recreate this kind of challenge. As the Apostle Paul often says, God forbid that we find ourselves in such a situation. But when I look at this story, I think it calls us to examine how we view God as a God who is God who provides, or God the genie who grants what we want. We're asked to examine our view of God, and we're asked to look at the relationship that we have in light of the challenges that you and I face. Yes, God will provide, but often such a provision does not come without some kind of cost. As Isaac's own son found out, Jacob, he would learn that on a dark night when he wrestled with an angel, trusting in God and seeing how God would work with him. And in the end, he wound up with a limp that he carried for the rest of his life. And in the Gospels, as we read about Jesus on the night he was betrayed was also in the garden. And he prayed to God that this cup could be lifted from him, that he would be relieved of this burden which had been placed upon him. But in the end, we remember his words, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Job complained about all the hardships that he had. Abraham negotiated with God when he was in a tough situation. Jacob wrestles with an angel. Jesus pleads in prayer. But each one of them in the end dared to trust in God, to believe indeed that God would be there for them, that they could count on God to provide. And in these situations, it was always when things seemed to be hopeless. The promises of God to come to us about provision or whatever have never been because we would not have to struggle. We are people of resurrection hope, but that doesn't mean that we don't first have to go through Gethsemane, that we don't have to go through the cross. Easter always awaits us. That is God's promise. But we can never get to Easter without Good Friday. We can never share in the glory of the resurrection without first the death of Jesus. But the blessing, I think, that's here the most is that through everything, God promises that we are not alone. The beloved psalm that we often read at funerals is Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Well, the operative part of that psalm which hits us today is, "Yea, though I walk through," remember that word, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear nothing because God is with me." That's the promise. We are never alone. We may not be able to get through that dark valley, but we are not alone as we walk through it. because God is with us. And somehow, some way, as we can see in the story with Abraham, God will give us the strength to make it to the other side. It's no wonder Jesus shared in his prayer that is beloved to all of us, to give us this day our daily bread. Give us what we need to get through this day, this situation. Let us know your presence. The place is called God Will Provide. So let us be prepared, I think, to sacrifice our cleverness where we think we can get through it ourselves, our ability to work things out because we're very analytic, and most of all, to give up or sacrifice our naive thinking that we are immune to the struggles and the pains of this life that have been faced by the countless folks before us and who have survived and prospered and gotten through because God provided. Abraham's lesson to us this morning is just simply trust God. Trust God that God will indeed provide. That God may not provide for us a way out, but God will always provide for us a way through. Thanks be to God. Amen.